The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone. Listen, subscribe and follow the podcast. Of course, the YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there as we get set for the home stretch of the NFL season, and we have ourselves quite a race for the number one overall seed in the NFC. The Philadelphia Eagles haven't lost since September. They're 12-2. The Detroit Lions have lost once since September. They're 12-2, but obviously dealing with a rash of injuries right now on the defensive side and losing their bruising running back, David Montgomery. And then you have the Minnesota Vikings at 12-2. With a win last night over the Chicago Bears, 30-12, the Minnesota Vikings are right there with the Eagles and the Lions for the best record in the NFC. And I have, and you guys know it, I have kind of put the Vikings on a secondary level the entire season, having considered them up there with the Lions or the Eagles. Even the Packers, who are 10-4, I have put over the Vikings as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. A few weeks ago, I had the Vikings and Steelers just outside the teams I actually thought could win the Super Bowl. But as I watched them last night, and they continue to win, Kevin O'Connell has done an incredible job with that team. The question in my mind this morning is, do we have to take the Vikings seriously? Is it time to take them seriously as not just a Super Bowl contender, but a contender to take over the number one overall seed in the NFC and steal home field advantage in a very difficult place to win in the NFC? And from the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's kind of get into the resume here for the Minnesota Vikings. They are now 12-2 on the season after winning last night. They took apart the Bears. They're 12-2 on the season. They have currently a point differential of plus 117. That is good for, let me look throughout the NFL, plus 117 right now ranks. Detroit is number one at plus 177. The Buffalo Bills are second at plus 135. The Philadelphia Eagles are third at plus 122. And then here are the Minnesota Vikings at plus 117. It's better than Kansas City's plus 70. It's better than Baltimore's plus 86. It's better than Pittsburgh's plus 71. It's better than Denver's plus 89. Better than Washington's plus 81. Better than Green Bay's plus 92. Better than Tampa Bay's plus 77. The best point differential in the NFC belongs to the Lions. Second is the Eagles. Third is the Minnesota Vikings. And the Eagles and Vikings, very similar. They are 7-2 in the conference, the same as the Eagles. They are 5-1 away from Minnesota. They're 7-1 at home. They have been a brilliant football team this year, led by their head coach and the reclamation project at quarterback in Sam Darnold. Some of the resume here for the Vikings. And as I open my eyes to their resume and watch them more lately, it's hard not to take them seriously. Now, their schedule, which I'll get to in a few minutes, does make it challenging for them. I think they have the most challenging road to finish this because of where their road games are. And, you know, the three playoff teams they're going to face, likely playoff teams down the stretch, but they're playing good football right now. So here's where they're at right now. They're at 5.7 yards per play this season. That's tied for 11th in the NFL with the Eagles. They are averaging 26.4 points per game this season. That's tied 8th in the NFL with the Eagles. You know, their resume in the Eagles is very similar. They're very similar football teams in that, now they do it a little bit differently, but their statistical profile is pretty similar to the Philadelphia Eagles. Defensively, offensively, it's pretty close. Third down conversion percentage, they're 11th in the NFL at 41%. Yards per play allowed, they're fourth. They're fourth in the NFL. Yards per attempt, excuse me. Look, my notes messed up. Yards per attempt, they're fourth in the NFL at 8.4. That's with Sam Darnold, a quarterback. Now let's go to the defense. Points per game allowed, 18.0, fourth in the NFL. Three teams, Chargers, Broncos, Eagles, all tied at 17.6. So they're right there as the best defense in the NFL. With the Eagles, opponent yards per play, 5.2, that's good for eighth. Third down defense, 34.4% allowed. That's good for fourth. Opponent passer rating, better than the Eagles in this one, 80.6. That is good for third. So we're talking about a team right now that has the best wide receiver in the NFL, has one of the best play callers and head coaches in the NFL, has a quarterback playing at a high level right now, and they back that up with a top 10, probably top 5 defense. That picture right there, if I remove the names, if I didn't tell you it was Sam Darnold at quarterback, you would say Super Bowl contender. They look like a Super Bowl contender right now. Now, the tricky part, and this is now where the Lions are trying to fend off these other teams. You know, the Lions have issues beyond, will the Eagles take the number one seed from them? If they lose this division and they lose winning a division and getting at least a home playoff game, it is likely road games throughout. So that's the challenge if you are someone that thinks the Packers are dangerous or the Vikings are dangerous. It's not just the extra game. It's road games basically throughout. And I think in this roulette and this gauntlet that's going to be the NFC, that number one seed is going to be huge. If Minnesota gets the one, if Minnesota could steal the number one seed from the Lions and Eagles, you know, they are gettable, but they're going to be in pole position with the bye to win two playoff games and get to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the reality of where they reside right now and the season they're having. And this is really a coach front office story in Minnesota. This was supposed to be a reset year. I thought they would be, I said before the season, the best last place team in the NFL. I was wrong on the Bears. I thought the Bears would be better than this. The Bears are horrific. They're going to go winless from the Hail Mary on in Washington. I thought the Bears would be competitive in like a 7 or 8 or 9 win team. They're not. They're bad. I thought Minnesota, though, would be a 7 or 8 win team in last place because it was a reset year with the rookie quarterback. But their infrastructure is great. They have a smart GM. They have a young quarterback who obviously got hurt this year, which opened the door for Darnold, but I still believe they're going to go with that young quarterback in the future. They're going to have a ton of cap space. They draft well. They're really smart. The Vikings are going to be a problem, but let's just focus on this year. Now they got the Darnold thing going. They started off really hot, and they really haven't hit a lull. I mean, they had the loss to the Lions, which was a very close game in Minnesota, and they lost on a Thursday night in a short week to the Rams, and that game wasn't really dead until the final couple minutes. And in fact, if my memory serves, there was a missed face mask on Darnold that the refs didn't call. And if they call that, perhaps the Vikings go down and win that football game and they have one loss this season. I mean, they've been really, really good. They had a little lull in the month of November where they had a slog through Jacksonville and a little bit of a slog through Tennessee. And then they barely beat the Bears in overtime. But since then, they've bounced back. And again, there was a Cardinal game about 3 weeks ago as well where they probably should have lost the game, but they just win, and they just win, and they just win. The story here is the guy I believe is going to be the coach of the year in the NFL is Kevin O'Connell. You know, the Vikings are now, and we'll see how Darnold closes the season. He's obviously played well. But the Minnesota Vikings are the first team in NFL history to have a quarterback with a pass rating over 100, have that quarterback leave the team, and have a new quarterback the next year have a passer rating 100 or better. And that would be last year, obviously, Kirk Cousins, who's now struggled with the Atlanta Falcons, and now it's Sam Darnold. And based on how good O'Connell has shown to be, I mean, Kevin O'Connell now has two 12-win seasons in 3 years, becoming just the second coach to 12 wins in twice in franchise history. Bud Grant was the other one. I mean, Bud Grant, that's a long time ago. If Minnesota wins next week or one of their final games here, he'll become the first Vikings coach ever with multiple 13-win seasons. I understand now it's a 17-game season. It didn't used to be, so we got to kind of reformulate what that means in our brain. But that's darn good. I mean, to have a 13-win coach, that is darn good. And he's going to do it. They're going to win one more game. We'll see what game they win. I think they're going to get one more and get to 13 wins. Now, this is kind of a tough stretch here. On the road at Seattle, we'll see what Geno Smith's health is. It's a short week on the road in a tough spot. You know, this could be a loss for them, but then they come back home for Green Bay, who they beat once. They could beat Green Bay again. Green Bay will be on a short week that week because Green Bay plays Monday night this coming week. So that, you know, I think they'll win one of these next two games, and then they'll go to Detroit the final week of the season. We'll see where they're at. We'll see where the Lions are at. If the Lions drop one of these next two, the division's still on the line. If the Lions win both, we'll see what the tiebreakers are and all that kind of stuff heading into the final week of the season. But the reality is they're probably going to win 13 games, maybe 14, maybe 15. And that's a remarkable achievement for this coach and the quarterback at Sam Darnold. Now, you might say, Joe, Darnold, really? Is he going to win playoff games? it's a team thing. And Darnold is throwing with confidence, with a big-time play caller with him in Kevin O'Connell, and he's throwing to the best wide receiver in the NFL. And Jordan Addison is no slouch either, and neither is Hockenson, but he's throwing to the best wide receiver in the NFL. And Justin Jefferson is an inevitable player. I'm going to pull up his numbers here because I think sometimes things get lost and things almost in a way you kind of forget when a player starts numbing you with numbers. But Justin Jefferson, who did miss a lot of last season with injury, is a remarkable football player. Like 7 last night for 73 with a touchdown. The week before, 7 for 132 with 2 touchdowns. The week before, 7 for 99 and a long of 30. He on the season, he's at 82 receptions for 1,243 yards, 15.7 per reception, 8 touchdowns. And you look at his overall career numbers now. Last year, he got to 1,000 yards in just 9 games started, only played 10 because of the issues he had. He is now, this is his 5th year in the NFL. He's going to end this season with probably somewhere around close to 500 catches in his first 5 years in the NFL and probably around 7,500 yards. I mean, we all could see where this is going, right? When Justin Jefferson, 10 years into his career, is probably going to have 1,000 catches and about 15,000 yards. He has the highest yards per game in the history of pro football. In the history of pro football. He's the best receiver in the NFL. His ability to get open all the time is remarkable. His yards per touch numbers, 14.8 for his career, is remarkable. He already has 7,100 yards from scrimmage in his career. He has scored 37 touchdowns already in his career. I'm going to look, this is a factor because you can slow him down, but you can't stop him. And then there's the defense, right? Darnold factor, O'Connell factor, defense with Brian Flores, who's putting himself in position here to have, you know, the most interesting case for a coaching candidate we've seen in a long time. You know, on resume, Brian Flores certainly deserves a second shot at being a head coach. He had some success, but interpersonal skills were not great with Miami. Tua Tagovailoa was very critical recently of him and how he treated him and did kind of uplift him and help him become the best player he could be. And, you know, more teams want offensive coaches and all that, but Flores has had success. He wasn't a disaster in Miami. And it was like Miami's winning Super Bowls without him. And then he goes to Pittsburgh and helps them, goes to Minnesota, helps them. But of course, he had that lawsuit against the NFL. And it's like, you know, is this going to be held against them? I don't know. I don't know what the future of Brian Flores is. By the way, just a quick note on Jefferson's pace right now. If Justin Jefferson stays in the pace that I suggested 10 years in, he's going to have the 6th most receiving yards in the history of pro football. And he will be about 2,000 or 3,000 yards from taking number 2 over from Larry Fitzgerald and about 8,000 down the stretch of his career from Jerry Rice and the all-time record. I don't think it is out of the realm of possibility that Justin Jefferson, if he stays healthy and he stays with O'Connell and a good team and a good offense, ends with the most receiving yards in the history of pro football. I think he could overtake Jerry Rice. Now, in terms of receptions, he could also do it. I mean, you have to play for a long time, but if he stays healthy, he's on that pace. Jerry Rice currently has the most receptions at 1,549. I think, you know, by the time we get 10 years into Jefferson's career, he's probably in the top 10 or so ever, and he's got his 30s to go, right? He has his whole, you know, last 5-6 years of his career to go, and we'll see how long he wants to play. But this is what we're talking about. Like, this team's got a lot of talent. They've got talent up front on defense, good acquisitions. They've got a smart GM, smart coach. I didn't take them seriously. I put them in that second bucket of teams. But as the Lions have issues and there's a path for the Vikings to win the division, I do take them seriously. If I had to guess right now, I would say the Lions are still going to get the 1. The Eagles will get the 2. Minnesota will be the 3rd seed in the playoff. The 5 seed, the number 1 wild card in the playoffs. And they will be a challenge and a handful for whoever they play in the first round, which would likely be Tampa Bay or the West winner. We'll see how that shakes out. It could be the West winner. And then, you know, depending on if Green Bay as the 6 or Washington as the 7, which is likely where it's going to land right now, win a game or not, you know, Minnesota would go to see the number 1 seed. So the Eagles could see Minnesota. I think it'd be a great matchup. They are very similar teams, and they both possess a lot of problems for the opponent, and they're smart front offices. I really respect what Minnesota's done. I actually think they're going to be more of a Super Bowl contender as years go on. That division's amazing, but they're really playing good football right now. 12-2. I do take the Vikings seriously. I think we should, because of what they put out there this entire season. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, a YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. It's going to be a great week. The Eagles clinch the NFC East on Sunday against Washington, and they could clinch nothing worse than the 2 seed, a bare minimum 2 seed, with a victory on Sunday over the Commanders. You guys have a great rest of your day. We'll talk soon on WIP Daily.